This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Rolling up in here on a Monday, June 9th. Lot to discuss because it was a slick, busy sports weekend. We had a lot go down, including in these finals. We saw that last night. OKC doing what we expected, or some of us expected, which is even things up, and they did so in dominant fashion. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that. We've got our own NBA news to deal with around here. And you could probably hear it. I needed to summon up some breath, right? Because it wasn't good news. It was news I wasn't expecting over the weekend. I don't think any of us were. And it wasn't particularly encouraging as it relates to the Grizzlies' upcoming season. Already! Injury news. What? Yeah, we'll have to get to that and what the Grizzlies have to do now that Zach Edey, big Zach Edey. What about our Summer League Championship? I mean, that's didn't occur to me till just now. Last week, we had dreams. We had big dreams. East Lowe's going to be coaching and have all of our young guys, a lot of them with something to prove. Yep. I don't know if we need that anymore because I've gone out of my way to learn his name. Tomas East Lowe.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any better locally than my pronunciation of it. I would challenge anyone. I've prepared. John, have you?
For what precisely?
All of the work it's going to take now to get these Grizzlies back to where you want them going into next season. Because it just became a lot more.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that.
Yeah, I did. yeah, I don't know.
I don't know that any of us are ready, John, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that the franchise is prepared, right, quite frankly.
We're about to see.
You know, I mean, if I was prepared, I should be working in that front office. I shouldn't be here. I should be in there and making my own hours. But I'm not, so I'm here. We'll talk about it. Yeah, bad news over the weekend as Zach Edey undergoes surgery on the ankle. And, you know, I see, okay, I'm reading the tweet. I'm making my way through the tweet. And I'm like, all right, he gets surgery on his ankle. He's going to miss summer league, whatever. But then they said that man is likely to miss the beginning of the regular season. Like, bro, it's 6 months away. It's six plus months away. Well, four and a half. Excuse me, four and a half. But still, extended amount of time, obviously. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? I don't want to, like, come in here and overreact. This isn't a career-ending injury or career-ending surgery. But, you know, this was going to be an important summer for Zach, and we'll get into all that on the show today. Jeff Calkins, 125, Respect Burgers, 1 o'clock. Obviously had NBA Finals Game 2 last night. We got the house settlement. You know, how is that going to impact your University of Memphis programs, athletic programs? We will discuss because, you know, there's some interesting nuances with it. I don't know if I understand it entirely.
I don't think any of us understand it entirely.
And there's some parts of it we just won't know yet, right? Like,
correct.
There's the NIL piece of it we'll talk about, I would bottom line it by saying it doesn't have to be all bad for the University of Memphis, at least on the basketball front. Football is going to be fighting an uphill battle, as it always has. You know, I think that hill will get a little steeper. But we'll get into all that today here on the show. So welcome to Monday, June 9th edition of the Jason and John Show here on 92.9.
Hello.
Zach Edey will not be joining us today, nor will he be joining us in Las Vegas, nor will he be joining us in Salt Lake City, nor will he be joining us for the preseason, nor will he be joining us for the beginning, according to Shams, of the 2025-26 NBA season, because he underwent, or will undergo, excuse me, surgery to restabilize an ankle that he sprained in an off-season workout last week. Obviously, we know he's already had issues with the ankles. He sprained his ankles twice in summer league. Did he do it in the regular season? I don't know. I don't recall off the top of my head a regular season. Maybe there was one, but I know of the two summer league sprains. And you know, big man and feet is an often, you know, linked problem. Yao had problems. Mark had problems. I think Mark had some, like Liz Franck or something like that. He had some. You know, some foot injury there in his career. So, it's a definitely a developmental step back, I would say. I mean, again, it's one summer, it's not the end of the world, but it's bad news for sure, for the timeline.
Yeah, because there's a good chance you're not going to be particularly flexible as you try to renegotiate with Jaren, possibly. You know, you got the whole Jaren and trying to get his extension done, whether you're doing it this off season or having to wait until next. The possibility of having very little flexibility is very realistic. And so now, with this, as you said, likely going into the season, you think, okay, well, does it make you less flexible? Now do you have to hold on to Brandon Clark? Maybe a trade you were looking at that might have involved him. Oh, no. Now he's one of the, you know, few things, the few knowns in our front court, at least when he's healthy. Now, obviously, with him, he's coming off injury. But my point is that It's awful news because now you're going to, again, have to react to this roster-wise. You know, it was great when we all thought Zach Edey was all you needed in the middle. And he did a very good job as a rookie this year convincing some of us that had these concerns about him coming out of the draft. We said, these kinds of guys aren't running around the league that you're asking to play at this pace. They don't exist anymore because of how fast the league is. He did a great job this year of catching all the way up. And I mean, by the end of the year, was he as good as he could have been if you don't have the back and forth with Isolo and Taylor Jenkins and Taylor seemingly bouncing him from the rotation? Remember, Isolo brought him back. He goes right back into the starting lineup. Maybe he'd have been a little bit better, but point was, he caught up.
Yeah.
There was still some catching up to do, but my point was, he convinced a lot of us critics that, you know what, he can run in this league and do it at a starter level, terms of minutes or whatever else, because some of us would say, well, maybe you have to be role guy off the bench. When you now add it back up, and the fact that they thought surgery was necessary here because it's recurring, it kind of throws that thinking or what we thought we saw, or at least what I thought I saw during the out the window. This goes back to, all right, well, here was the concern the whole time,
yeah.
Especially with the pace that the Grizzlies are trying to play. Guys, this is not a half-court team. You bumped it up to number one this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think you slowed it down a little bit with Isolo. So it's discouraging, yes, but it goes back and it sort of reopens some, you know, maybe reopen, not the word, but brings back some old fears that I thought were sort of put to bed, maybe naively, because of how big this dude is, because of what you're asking him to do. This happens in a training session. Could have happened anywhere. It's true. But let's be real, too. We always wondered, at that size, is Zach Edey going to be able to hold up 10-plus years?
Yep.
When you're asking him to come in and be in such an important piece,
yep,
which is a starter right in the middle. And here we go. You know, not even into year two yet. And we're gonna miss summer league. And who knows in terms of how much of the regular season. Hopefully not much. It's not much, but you're going to have to react roster-wise.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't need this.
Yeah, listen, I mean, you know, and the question is a couple of things. One is this going to be chronic? I know they're trying to address that in hopes that it will not be. But, you know, we talked about all the big Greg Oden. He's already played more than Greg Oden, by the way. But still, that's all. Like, when you talk about this guy, a guy of this size, it's just the first thing that you're going to think about. Is like, is he just going to be a big man that has injury problems? Now, again, he was pretty durable at Purdue. I feel like he didn't miss a game.
Yes.
But there's a big difference between 35.
Yes, that was part of the narrative when they drafted him.
Yeah.
To say this guy doesn't get hurt.
Right.
But
don't worry about the injuries in the league.
Exactly.
He didn't get hurt in college.
Exactly.
They were playing John a half court game at Purdue.
Well, that's all 35 versus 82. I mean, that's a huge difference.
100%.
I mean, and then the travel and back to backs
and number one in the league in pace for a long portion of the season.
Nah.
If you didn't finish, I'm pretty sure you finished top three.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's you're asking him then to join one of the fastest teams in the league.
That's right.
A team that's trying to pick that's up right. the pace.
And again, he there were moments where he was extremely effective. Maybe the most effective guy on the team. I mean, he did a good job. This is not about performance. It's just about, you know, this is the risk you take. This is the risk you take taking a guy, because Zach Edey was not a projected top 10 pick.
It was in mid. You asked about it was which one in the season, mid November. Against the Nuggets was
okay,
the second one.
Okay, so he
first
did
time was summer league.
Okay, so he did have one of the regs.
Mm-hmm. Missed a dozen games.
So, but Zach Edey was not a consensus projected top 10 pick. I mean, he was maybe a late lottery guy. Like,
correct. Many thought the Grizzlies reached in taking him when they did. We said, well, it's perfect for the Grizzlies.
Exactly.
So it's not a reach. That's what we said locally.
Exactly. Yes. And I stand by that. I mean, given what was available, right? Given what they could have done, given who they could have drafted.
Given after some of us think you tried to get up for Klingon, you didn't get that done.
Exactly.
It was reported. It wasn't just thought. It wasn't just you tried to move up for Klingon. This was a second option.
That's right.
If that failed.
You didn't get Klingon. So, okay, what do we do? How do we address Grizzly? How do we address center here? And so I would not go back and change it. He was a first team, you know, all rookie. Like
he had a great season. He did.
But in the back of your mind, if this doesn't, you know, if this doesn't go the way we hope it does, it's going to be because of a situation like this, because he's unable to play, because he's unable to stay healthy over the course of a long career, right? You want to have a long career. And then that's the first thing. Is this going to be a recurring issue? They're hopeful that it is not. We don't know. We won't know the answer to that. Which is the second part of it is, okay, now we don't have all these answers. So what do you do? Like, does this mean you can't trade Brandon Clark? All these ideas of a trade, you know, he was going to have to be in them because he makes $12 million a year. He would have been a part of that package. So it almost makes you feel like you can't trade him because you don't have reliability with Zach right now. So you got to have options there. You're going to have to spend some money, it seems like, inevitably on a Brook Lopez or a Kevon Looney's hype, because you got to have more. I mean, Jay Huff can't be your second string center. Like, that's just not viable.
No.
So you spend the top 10 pick, and now you're going to have to spend even more money on a center because his availability is in doubt, you know, and there's nothing you can do. It's a bad break, right? But it just makes it that path that we're talking about for the Grizzlies. It makes it a lot harder to achieve and get back on when you have this uncertainty.
It goes back to the sort of, and I'll just say this. I mean, it's not second guessing, I don't think. And I would echo what you said. I'm fine with picking Edey. It could work out. But it goes back to settling, man. It goes back to not getting the deal done to move up for Klingon. It goes back to not getting deals done like for Dorian Finney-Smith and settling for what you've got and being okay with it. When you settle for Zach Edey, it's a little bit different, right, because of his physical nature and how it fits with what you're trying to do. You sold it as perfect fit. I'm speaking of the Grizzlies and the organization.
Yep.
Perfect fit because he's the final piece. He'll open up the space for Ja Morant. However, he doesn't run like today's centers do.
Yep.
And I'll go back to it again. Hindsight's 20/20. Klingon was more of a fit there. Not that he didn't have his own injury concerns or have some injury issues this season, didn't he? Didn't Klingon have some of those?
Yeah, he did.
And again, you're trying to play the fastest pace ever. It's going to be harder, tougher for Zach Edey to do that. More, I'll put it this way, more of a challenge. Now, again, this didn't happen in season, but you settle. You settle. You didn't get that deal done to move up for Klingon. You settle for Edey. Some folks say it's a reach, whatever else. You say it's perfect for you, and you're in this boat now where it's been a recurring ankle injury, right? This is the third time for that ankle. That's why you've decided surgery. John, what happens if it happens with the other ankle?
No doubt.
Right? What happens if you've got to do the same thing there?
Yeah.
And you continue to miss time? Well, here's why it matters. Because Edey's role is so key. In allowing it to go to Edey, right, you've said, well, this is our guy to free up Ja. And you've got to have that guy in your offense, not just to do that, but to address Jaren Jackson's inability to be a defensive rebounder.
Yep.
So guys, this it's a huge setback.
Clingan had an MCL sprain. He missed 2 weeks.
And there you go. I mean, I knew he had some. I don't want to put out here like he's had some perfect season.
Yeah, he played 67.
That you wouldn't have had some injury issues with him. Yeah. I will say, Zach Edey made first team all rookie.
He did.
You know?
Yeah.
Clingan did not.
That's right.
So, again, credit to Zach Edey. But my point is, for what you need and for how you're trying to play, this injury concerns fears, right? They were real.
Yep.
For those of us that had them early on, there and here we are.
Absolutely.
Possibly being set back again. My point, John, it can't always just be settling, man. At some point, you got to really go. You know, especially if that's your first, if it's your first inclination.
Yeah.
Their first, okay, Clingan. All right. Or Dorian Finney-Smith. Hey, if it's another pick, whatever it is. I mean, some of these deals that they haven't gotten done over the years. You know, Mikal Bridges. You know, at some point, this stuff comes back to get you. And when you've had, man, they are. I'll just say this. It feels like we're snake bitten with the injury stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
this feels unfair that it continues to happen to the Grizzlies. However, it's happening to a guy that we all, when you drafted him, you say, okay.
Right.
Yeah, he looks like a good final piece, but is he going to hold up?
Yeah.
Especially in this fast league. Oh, by the way, Grizzlies are turning up the pace. They want to be number one in tempo.
Yeah, Clingan played one more game than Zach on the season. So he played 67, Zach played 66.
Some have not believed the reports that the Grizzlies tried to move up to get Clingan. There were two of them. There was one from
Woj, right?
Woj is the key one.
Yeah.
Right. There
and
was another
was,
one.
Jake from Fisher, maybe?
Fisher that we kind of cast. When it's just his use, you say, did they really or not? Woj reported it, too.
Yeah.
That the Grizzlies were trying to move up.
Yeah.
And so this was plan B.
Yeah. No, I mean, and
unfortunately, the Grizzlies have done too much plan B in it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, you know, the Mikal Bridges trade that you mentioned, like, whatever they gave up for that. I mean, would it have got, like, it felt like watching that Eastern Conference final series that, like, he wasn't doing enough, right, to justify the cost it would have taken to get him. But
sure.
I do agree with you, though.
No, it's more emblematic.
It's the philosophy.
Not getting some of these bigger deals that you had envisioned deals that would get you there.
Well, because
they haven't gotten
there. It's almost like they're more comfortable sort of just being where they are, right? Like, where they just don't want to cash in. They don't want to go for it.
Correct.
They're like, all right, let's
we'll
just
sit and wait.
Let's just sort of improve within the margins that we can control and
let these second round picks develop, and we'll use them to skin the cat.
I mean, I think the Edey situation makes that incredibly more complicated now.
Well, it exposes you some of these other decisions.
Obviously, my offseason plan, as we've talked about, is to go out and acquire Kevin Durant. That was my big Grizzlies offseason plan. Well, how am I going to do that now? I can't trade Brandon Clark right now.
Mm.
I can't. I might need him. I might need him to play the five for me. You know?
Well, you know what's going to happen. Jaren going to be playing the five start of the year.
And
we've seen that.
That's fine. So he'll play the five, and then Brandon will be my four.
Because I don't know that they'll have the flexibility to go out and do it. What about Santi?
Does
this mean, you know?
He was linked to the Pistons over the weekend.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to go out and address this, and you might have to do it in a real manner that says, you know what, we can't have Santi back. We got to go a different direction.
That's right.
Because does Santi help you defensively?
No. No, he does not.
No.
No, he does not.
That's what you got to get your identity back on.
He does the pass, dribble, shoot stuff, right? I mean,
He's skilled.
Yeah.
Skilled, I give it to it.
Yeah.
Does not help you defensively.
No, he doesn't.
That's what was gone at the end of the year, man.
Yeah.
Even with Jaren in there.
No, this was a huge summer for Zach, and it's really a bummer that he's not going to get to go through it because, I mean, you get the whole summer with Thomas Isolo, you know, the young guys, just a full, you know, the rookie to sophomore jump could happen in the summer, and now he's going to be
a great year.
He's going to be
really
behind the eight ball, no training camp, no nothing, right?
Like, I hate to even second guess it to go back because he'd had that good of a year, man,
right?
Making first team all rookie, everything else. He'd had that good of a year.
He did.
To shut some of us critics up that wondered about whether this guy can hold up in this league.
He shut up some of the critics.
Doing what you guys are asking him to do.
That's right.
Be a starter in this league.
But again, the foot thing. It's the common thread, right, with every big man of that
foot,
size.
Ankle.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of
It's
just a lot of torque, man, weight.
It is.
Movement.
And it would have been true of Clingan as well. Like they basically play the same amount of games. But you know, it's a bad break that unfortunately really just hamstrings you. It feels like to me, like, just cuz I don't know how you make a decision about like how can you go all in right now? How can you do that? Like, I just don't know if not that it's just like you want Zach Edey, the sophomore, to be a big piece of that, right? Like, all right, I got Zach Edey year two. I got Ja. I got Jaron. You know, I can maybe dangle Bane and Brandon, and I can go get this piece.
Yeah, Edey looked really good at the end of the year under Isolo.
And now it's
he really did.
Surgery, is it really going to help? Is it going to, you know?
Does it happen to the other ankle?
Right. I mean, these are questions that we will not have the answers to. And so I just think it makes it just kind of clouds the vision, you know, of like, how you just don't know what's in front of you right now because you're banking on health. And that's not something that you know the answer to.
I don't know what they're going to go get one of them Morris twins. Are they still even playing?
Not them, please.
Are they still even playing?
No, I gave you the names.
I got it straightened out now.
I gave you the names. Hold on.
Markeith is the better on-air analyst.
Yeah.
Now, is he the better player?
Yeah.
He is?
I think so.
You don't know, do you?
No, Marcus.
Which one's
the better player?
Marcus
is the better player.
It's so confusing.
Because I think he had the...
But the better analyst
hold on.
Markeith.
Marcus averaged 12-4 for his career. Let's look at, maybe it was Markeith.
Markeith might be better player and better analyst.
Let's see.
Does one of them have a ring?
No, it's Markeith that has the ring with the Lakers that he got in the bubble, but you don't count that one anyway.
It's a fake title.
But he averaged for his career 10-5. So I think Marcus is the better player. Marcus is the better player. Yes.
Well, Markeith has flipped it on him post-career for not playing it. We're going to have to go get one to fill in for Edey or something.
No, I gave you the names. It's according to the Athletic, it's Brook Lopez, Clint Capella, Kevon Looney. One of those three.
Great.
And they could
Looney
be,
doesn't rebound.
Looney is...
Not enough that we need because he's got to offset Jaron.
Looney is a bad player.
Please take him off the list.
Capella...
What did he average rebounding last year?
Clint Capella?
Yes.
Did he even play last year?
And does he? Feels like he still makes a fortune.
He does.
Those days are done.
I think his contract's out though. It feels like Clint Capella has fallen off. I don't know.
I hope so. I mean, I think he has, but what did he do? If he can't average double figure rebounding, you don't.
He played 55 games last year for Atlanta. He averaged 9-8. I mean, I'm fine with Clint Capella. I get it. He's not the player that he used to be, but that's fine. That's
his career double double.
I mean, he was 15 and 14 years ago.
And did he get fat?
I don't know.
It looked like he got a double chin now.
Does I mean that would make sense?
That in.
That's why he's going to be available.
Yes, yes. And again, we just need him for a certain amount of time. So I'm going to go ahead and okay it.
It does. It does look like he's gotten out of shape.
Yeah, he's added some weight.
Because he's just do we even know if he's going to continue to play basketball?
Well, you got him on the Athletic has the list. You said this is the official list of candidates. And then where are we with Brooke? How old are we now with Brooke?
I mean, Brooke also stinks.
I'm pretty sure I think of that group. I'm going to take Capella.
Brooke is like Jaron. He's like
only 5 rebounds last year.
Yeah. He's like the Stanford version of Jaron.
Can't do it.
So
our man has to rebound.
Yeah, I don't think Brooke's a good fit. Because between Jaron and Brooke, you're going to have 6 rebounds a game.
Set it up to Zach. Climbing. Let him know.
So we just got
– decisions made.
That just leaves us fat Clint Capella.
Whatever we got to do. Again, is the market going to be robust for him? It doesn't look like it.
I think he will be more robust than his market.
It looks like we'll stay quiet about this. We'll stand – and then we'll go grab him real fast.
You did a great job negotiating for the Grizzlies. Like, man, you know – you have a double chin now. Yeah. You know,
it was the first thing that jumped out at me.
Your production is kind of your chin has doubled. Your production has halved.
Right.
This is going to be a tough thing for us. So,
and we're not looking for a full season of.
But do you want to really give the MLE awesome to Clint Capella though? Is the question?
Does he make you tougher defensively and all that? I mean, I think it's probably more so than anything else you got out there.
I mean, that is a depressing list.
And you're going to have to move on from Santi
because Looney's not. Very good either. Looney is like big and slow.
Looney and Lopez are not realistic options for me.
I would not think
for the Grizzlies either.
I would go Clint Capella and just
the
hope
thing on there
that he gets in shape. Yeah. You know, is the only thing I could do, right?
Yeah, I don't know what his situation was in the season with the injury.
Yeah.
But yes, he would need to be in.
Because he at least has been that. I think he's a 2-time DPOY guy.
Yeah, he used to be. You still could roll to the basket, everything. Don't look like you're getting much roll now except jelly roll.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe he gets that conditioning with Tuomas Isolo and, you know, becomes a different guy.
Could be.
So that's always possible. Maybe he'll be motivated. But, yeah, it's a I don't want to say it's bleak, but it's just a setback. Like Jason said, it's just a setback for a franchise that kind of feels like they can't afford many of those at this juncture. They need to move forward, to be able to move forward. And this is just one of those things that kind of keeps them in a holding pattern.
He's such a key guy, too, because he's key to Josh's success. He's key to Jaren's success. He's key to this thing moving forward with those guys as pieces, John,
yep,
Jaren.
Yep.
For what they do.
Exactly.
For the space, for the rebounding.
Yep.
So it kills you. It absolutely kills you with all of it. You, yep, need it for the continuity. And when have the Grizzlies ever had that continuity? It's the one thing this franchise lacked for years.
That's exactly right. All right, we'll come back. NBA Finals is even. One apiece. Oklahoma City bounces back last night. Whew, some of us needed it badly. Also, just an absolutely diabolical, the worst sports betting loss I have ever taken over the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to clap on that.
I thought you were going to get me.
No. I appreciate that because I thought you were ribbing me there. But it's fine.
Nope.
It was the most diabolical sports betting loss I have ever taken in my life. It happened this weekend. I'll explain it a little bit more when we get back. Jason and John, I'm trying to...
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
FM ESPN. Black Tie Movement is changing movement in the city of Memphis. When I talk to friends who have moved and they say, no, I didn't use Black Tie Movement. I say, what the helly? What the helly, Ante? What the hell, Burton? What is wrong with you? How dare you do that? What a mistake you made. But if you're about to move, you need to get on the schedule. Let Black Tie Move and handle that move for you. 316-6196 is the number. They're going to stay on budget. They're going to show up on time. That sets them apart in Memphis. Call them. Get on the schedule now. Black Tie Move and change and move in the city of Memphis. Call today. All righty. Prior to the game yesterday, there was some... there was some thought that I saw a tweet that Mike Breen and the crew might have to broadcast remotely because of a tornado warning in the area.
So,
and that's when I knew that it was going to be a thunder roll, right? I mean, it's just like when you have a tornado as the game is starting. It's just too poetic.
Also, some of them dress I heard Breen say it during the broadcast as Halliburton hit an early shot. He gave him a bang, and he said he owed him that one.
Yes.
Because like we had talked about,
yes,
did not recall did Breen not. Using a bang on Halliburton's shot in game one. And he even acknowledged it.
That's right.
Because it had been brought up to him. He'd probably seen it on right. social media, which I didn't look for, but it was clearly others had noticed as well.
That's right.
And he gave him one when it really didn't matter.
That's right.
But in the first quarter, because it was a payback.
He only says bang on threes.
Okay.
Was his rationale when he was explaining it.
Got you. See, I didn't listen that deeply, but I knew I'd heard it. And I'd heard him say,
yeah,
I owed him one.
Yeah. Now, I would have probably made an exception, given that it was such a game, you know, an important shot. And it was still
a
shot.
You just got to wait.
Yeah.
Because look how unimportant ends up being.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and he hit some fourth quarter shots, but by the time he got going in the fourth, it was pretty much out of reach.
The game was over.
Yeah. But like you have the whole series to pay him back that bang. You know, you don't have to give it to him in game two.
Right.
You know, especially so early. I don't want to cheapen the
bang. I
don't
want it to be obligatory.
You know, the bang is something that's very, you know.
But maybe that's more sign.
No, I don't think so. I think he
yes, got, it is.
He was under
it's
pressure.
It's more signed that he really is, man. He's kind of he's just waving in the wind, man. Here at the end,
I thought he was just under pressure and he was just trying to placate the masses.
I'm kidding. I think we said it last week under immense scrutiny they've been getting.
That's right.
We still stand firm for Breen.
We do.
Maybe not the whole rest of the crew.
I think the crew is fine. I have no issues with the crew.
We said that they did bring no favors when they broke up. You said. MJ, say it.
Mark Jackson?
Right, and Van Gundy.
Yes.
That was the culture crew.
Yes. Game two happened last night. But the real news of the day is Tyler Perry's straw.
Stop.
I guess we'll have to get to that.
It will be addressed later.
I guess we'll have to get to that.
It did. It wrecked the internet.
Yeah.
And as you saw, you got caught up to it.
It didn't wreck the corners of the internet that I'm in, but
well, you saw it happening.
I respect when you bring these things to me, and I did some further research, you know.
Dude, exactly. One word, Sinbad.
Sinbad, dude. Sinbad's in that thing.
Do you remember when he came on with us?
It was like he blessed
the show.
He believed
in us early.
He did.
He gave us a chance early.
He did.
And so there'll always be a special place in my heart, Brad, much like yourself.
Dead ass.
Those folks that believed in us early, like you, like Sinbad, always going to be a special place in Smooth's heart for them.
Bro, seriously.
And I saw him in straw.
It was like the first thing we did that people like talked about.
It feels that way.
They're like, oh, your Sinbad interview was so good. Thank you.
Gave us a little confidence.
Thank you so much.
Like when a player hits his first shot.
I'm blushing. Know? Thank you, Sinbad.
Confidence is key.
Even though Sinbad was basically irrelevant at that time. Like,
it's okay. We got it through chuckles. It worked out. It was great for Smooth's confidence. Again, like you said, it was just sort of a, hey, we can do this. That was a good, at least for me, you had done many a good interview.
Rest in peace to Chuckles.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, we lost them.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah. There,
don't get too off what you were on, which is game two.
Yeah, sorry. Straw is just something that has been on my mind. No question about that. But yes, as we kind of expected, at least some of us, not all of us, some of us had the Pacers plus 10.5. I don't want to say no names. I ain't trying to do that. You know, I'm not trying to take it there, especially as hot as he's been running. You know, in his segment,
he got very confident.
But some of us expected a close game. Others did not. Others bet the Oklahoma City Thunder minus 10.5 as soon as it posted. And I will say this. There was a world where Jalen Williams misses that three at the end. They come back, hit a three. Because the Pacers don't stop playing, bro. They do not stop. They don't die. It's like that.
Well, they stopped last
that
time.
Game,
in the fourth, they stopped.
Well, that was weird. I guess we could get to that in a minute. But, like, they just always, you know.
Yeah, no, that's how they've had all these comebacks.
There were moments where I'm like, all right, whew, I can exhale, the game's about to get to 30, and it never did. It would get to like 23, and then it'd be 18, and then it'd be 15. I'm like, good 10-0, God.
10-0 run.
Why won't you guys just go away? God.
You sound like someone with a lot of money on the game.
You make it hard. You make it so hard. But ultimately, at the end, the Thunder did enough to hold on. Good job summing that up. I will say, it was not nearly as it was a competitive game. It really was. There was a bad end of the first and a bad second quarter for the Pacers. Beyond that, you're talking about two teams that are right there. But the first half was enough ultimately for the Thunder. Shea was brilliant yet again, 34-8-5. Caruso and Aaron Wiggins, bro.
Wiggins hit 5 threes off the bench.
Where did they come from? I mean, offensively for Caruso, 20 points for him. He was the second leading scorer on the team.
Yep.
So, you know, that's why when we talk about the Thunder, we said that this team is going to do it because they have those nights with Caruso, or it's Jalen Williams, or it's Chet, or it's freaking Aaron Wiggins coming off the bench. Like, they show, I thought that was in many ways the best of the Thunder, right? They showed what they can be when they're absolutely rolling.
Yeah, I think too, you know, Dagnall just needs to stop playing, be the bigger team. They, you know, we saw it to start the series, and we talked about it, and we asked the question, why? Why did he feel the need to adjust, pull Hartenstein? Hartenstein plays just 17 minutes that first game, has 9 rebounds, but limited there. That side to go smaller. They went back to Hartenstein in terms of not starting, but 22 minutes. His minutes went back up, and they out-rebounded the Pacers. You get out-rebounded in the first game by a Pacers team that has no business out-rebounding you after you pull Hartenstein and give him only 17 minutes. And then you're back to being the more dominant team inside once you play him 22. This is simple. And this has me going back and questioning things like, again, how good a coach is Dagnall? You can look real good when you've got a culture that's set by SGA. He's the MVP. Everybody's falling in behind. And by the way, I mean, whether it's Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, they've got other dudes. They're deep. And I'm not saying he's not a good coach, but I'm saying we don't have any evidence that he's some genius. And when you do something as, again, no-brainer as this, Indiana wasn't asking for some huge adjustment based on how they'd played. You have a huge advantage in terms of your size, and they finally went back to it in game two. They owned the boards as a result of it, and it was just, why did you need to change something that wasn't broken? So I go back to, and there's no need to hold up Dagnall here. You know, we've seen some real fine coaching in these playoffs, particularly on the part of Indiana, adjustments, Rick Carlisle. I haven't seen anything from Dagnall yet that makes me think this guy's some genius. Now, clearly he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's part of the culture. He coached their G League team for 5 years before they gave him this. But come on, man. Why did he change that up? They are the more physical team. You took one of your strengths away from yourself. Second, overthinking it going into the series.
Absolutely.
That was back to, you know, again, you went back up to 22 minutes for Hartenstein, had him on the floor again with Chet. Get back to basics, bro. That's be the bigger team when you can be. You don't need to overthink this. And so finally, they did that for the most part in game two.
Yeah, they did. And now the series, of course, goes back to Indiana. And the question is, you know, what are we going to see? Because in game threes, the Thunder have been awful in the playoffs. They were down 29 in the first round to the Memphis Grizzlies, as you might remember. Ultimately, you know, got a lucky break and Ja Morant got hurt and were able to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
They lost by, what was it, a billion, right, to Minnesota. They lost that game by 41. They lost, I want to say, to Denver. They lost by 12 at Denver. So, you know, that's been the swing in the series so far for the Thunder, is this third game going to the, you know, going on the road. You know, and I think that's just what you kind of have to, you know, filter through right now is like, do we expect, like, have they figured out the Pacers in a way? Like, was that game like, all right, we kind of figured this out now, we feel good about it? Or was it just an inevitability that the Thunder were going to respond like that, and now we have a series? Like, where are you on that?
Well, I mean, say for a game-winning shot in game one, Tyrese Haliburton has not been great. He's 13 of 26 from the field, but 5 of 15 from 3. Again, he hits the key one at the end, but that was a game we said where he only had 14 points in game one. Last night, 17 points. This is not a guy who's having his way. And at times, in fact, you're seeing him on the bench looking like, boy, almost like he hasn't quite gotten it figured out yet when he should be aggressive and when he shouldn't. This should be go time all the time for him. The problem is that's not what they've asked him to do during the regular season. It's not who he is. He averages 18 points. He's never been that guy to go out and go try to match SGA, who's giving you 30 each night. And yet it's
At some point, you've got to turn it on and take it to another level. Your team is asking that of you. We talked about it. If not for Nembhard and Miles Turner in game one, Halliburton's shot ain't happening. You're not back in the game in game one if those guys haven't hit the key threes to start the 12-2 run to finish the game.
Yep.
Friendship, we've been playing with it because Brian Windhorst, the power of friendship, Brian Windhorst is that's what pulled him through with the game one. If the number one friend here at some point doesn't decide, hey, I'm going to be Mr. Aggressive here and y'all fall behind me like is happening on the other side with OKC and SGA's consistency, bro, the rest of this series ain't going to be close.
Yeah, you're right.
Because look at how they've defended Halliburton for not just this series so far, but going back to the regular season, they've had success against him. There's something Dagnall doesn't need to change. Yeah, he got loose at the end of game one when he had Cason Wallace on him instead of Dort there, but they've done a good job on him.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't change, if Halliburton doesn't all of a sudden decide I'm going to be aggressive Halliburton, the dude we saw put up that historic triple-double against the Knicks, bro, this won't go six.
Yeah,
they can win four in a row.
Well, I think yeah. Like if you zoom
they
out,
can.
If you zoom out, you say, all right, they were up 15 in game one, in the fourth quarter, bro. Like so, they've controlled the Pacers led for 3 seconds, you know, in that game.
The end. 0.3.
Yeah, 0.3, whatever. Yeah, 0.3 seconds. So you could say like the Thunder have dominated this series. Like they've won.
Well, they gave away their rebounding advantage in game one, which you took back.
Exactly.
So you outthunked it. You gave that
like,
to them in
like,
the first game.
How did
my
they
point.
Do that though? Right. Like what was different? Because he kept the same starting lineup. Oddly, I thought he would have.
He played them more minutes. That's what I just sat and told you the entire few minutes ago. He played them more minutes. It's five more minutes. Hardenstein, but he had him and Chet on the floor together.
Right.
Didn't start them.
Yeah.
But he played them more minutes. He only played them 17 in the first game.
Yeah.
He barely had them on the floor together. They need to be on the floor together against this Indiana team.
Yeah.
He had completely messed that up. That was pointed out last night.
Yep.
How he put the two back in there and there's back up. There's a 5-minute difference, but don't let that fool you. He played them both together.
Got
Whereas
it.
In that first game, he would not do it. Right. I'd put his tail back in the starting lineup.
I would too.
But he's doing that just to cover his butt at this point so he doesn't look. So it doesn't look like as much of a no-brainer. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Yep.
Like, why did you give them that?
Yep.
But they got the rebounding advantage back. They were out-rebounding that first game as a result of a jump.
Yep. No, I think that's exactly. I kind of think that, like, with that adjustment, they've kind of got this on.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like,
and that's what I'm saying. You gave that to them. That wasn't something that you even needed to give it to them in game one.
You didn't need. But I
changed it without even needing to see it.
I think there's some possibility, maybe a very real possibility, that this is a 5-game series, right? Like they just rattle off three more.
It could be.
I think it probably is six. I think the Pacers will take one of these two games.
I hope so. It's going to take one of those Halliburton games, though. Why does this dude do this? Hasn't he understood at this point? It's go time now. And typically, when you've gone, when you're scoring 20 plus, you guys are winning. It's not a bad thing when you're doing it.
Because like you'll look at his numbers and you'll see he had 17 last night, bro. He had six. He had three, I think, going into the fourth.
I think it was five.
Okay, it was five.
Either one or the other.
Right?
You're dead on now.
He was irrelevant.
Exactly.
All of that
came
in the context of garbage time.
Yes.
He was not. And that's why we talked about before this series started. I would love to have been able to believe that the Pacers could do this thing and pull it off. But he, like SGA, bro, lunch pail. I'm there.
Bro.
Tell me when and where.
But it was about to be garbage time in game one.
Yep. Exactly.
In that fourth quarter when they were 15 in the fourth. It was about to be.
Yep.
You know, before, his crew.
Yes.
Got him back in that game.
Yes. But make no mistake about it, bro.
You can't watch them do this the rest of the series, watch his teammates and hope their threes get him fired up. Like, you got to be leading this,
no
bro,
doubt.
At this point.
And that is the difference
work.
Because the Thunder are going to win the championship because their star shows up every single night. It doesn't matter who the team is. It doesn't matter what. Dude, regular season,
he did in the loss last game.
Yes. Like, this guy is going to give you 30-plus a game. It's inevitable. He's a lock to give
Rick
you 30
Carlisle
a game.
Said it. Some people didn't like it, but he said it in the postgame presser. He said, look, he's going to score 30-something points. We can't stop that. What we got to do is try to make it as hard on him as possible so we're wearing them down. But he was telling us, one of the Moores brothers said he didn't like that statement, what it says to your team,
I mean,
that you can't stop this guy.
Nobody
that
can stop him.
It's, but no, I agree. And that's what it, I mean, he basically was just up there telling the truth. He said the thing is we're not here to make it easy for him.
Yes.
You know, we need to wear him down, and what that does, hopefully in turn, is put more pressure on his teammates, and that's where we can win.
That's right.
But, I mean, he was. It's not like it was. He was saying, my team sucks. We can't defend this guy.
Yes.
So I didn't have any problem with him saying it the way he did. What are we talking about here? Carlisle knows what the hell he's doing.
I mean, look at his numbers, dude. He had 31 and 38 against the Grizzlies. That's two. He had how many 30-point games did he have against Denver? One, two, three, four games. Four of the seven against Denver. One, two, three, four of five against Minnesota. And then two against the – this dude is putting up 30 a game in like 80% of his games in the playoffs, bro.
Oh, it's unreal. It's unreal.
I mean, honestly, it's got to be in the conversation for like best postseason. Like, I mean, I guess LeBron probably was doing that, you know, with the Cavs. He probably – his numbers probably looked a lot like that. But, I mean, that's the kind of category he's in. Like, if you're not thinking about this dude and, like, that LeBron, you know, possibility,
mm-hmm.
you need to update. Because, like, we talked about – I've become such a fan of this dude because of his consistency. Like, that dude just is going to show up and produce. Like, I don't know if the team's going to win. I don't know how well they're going to shoot. I don't even necessarily know how efficient it's going to be. Like, it kind of goes up and down sometimes. But he's shooting what? 49% for the series on averaging 36 a game, bro. 40% from three. What do you want this man to do? And only going to the free throw line 10 times a game, you know? So it's not like he's, you know, getting 15. So I don't know, man.
I don't think there's any more criticisms of his game in terms of what we need to see from him. He's picked it up on the defensive end. I mean, there are no holes in his game. And the guy brings it every night.
Exactly.
You can't keep hating on him just because he's from Canada. He doesn't sound like us.
Exactly.
At some point, folks got to let it go. This guy's – and we just saw him. He put down Jokic and those guys. Now, Jokic didn't have enough help.
Put him down.
Coaching situation, hell, he might have been the head coach himself, Jokic. No joke. I don't know. But SJ just put him down.
Put him down,
He's putting his stake in as I'm the best player in the world.
Yes.
He's putting his bid in, I should say.
I agree. I mean –
stake in the ground.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think you have to – it's Jokic-like. In the way that he, you know, impacts his team,
yes.
Because you remove him from it.
But they're way deeper than that, and than any Denver team that Jokic has been.
I mean, you get five threes from Wiggins, like you said. I mean, what are you going to do with that?
Exactly.
What are you going to do?
That comes out of nowhere.
He's like their ninth man.
Oh,
you really can't compete.
He wasn't even playing barely in these playoffs.
He wasn't. I mean, he was like the guy that like would go off on the Grizzlies or something. But like, he was not a, you know, he's some games he doesn't even play.
So that's like GG for us. Huh? He can GG be that in a couple years? No.
No.
I just tell you.
I would love it, but I just don't see it. I do not see it.
Okay.
But, you know, again, let's be helpful today, Jason. GG Jackson.
Well, he can be better than Wiggins from where y'all were holding him up there.
I did not ever hold him up.
There were plenty that were.
There were a lot. There were a lot that, like, tried to skip steps with GG. Like you go from
that's what I try to do with Chris, with his fundamentals.
That's right.
You want to skip steps, y'all want to skip steps.
But what we are learning
basic things.
Is that Gigi was the you know, a 14 win merchant, you know? Like just somebody has to score and he was the guy that
teach
did
him about winning.
Right.
Too.
Yes.
Skip that step.
It's not a great sign when you go from being like the you know, the guy on a bad team to not even in the rotation on a good team. Like that's just a bad. Like, he's probably just Marshawn Brooks. Like, that's probably what GG is.
Now that Edie won't be out there, is it as serious that you get everybody out there in summer league?
It's
Does
less.
Does anything change?
It's less.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But they will still.
So maybe you, because of injury and how you, injury concerns, how you can't afford anymore now, you already got, maybe you pull back more.
No, let's be clear.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe GG doesn't go now. That's what I'm trying to correlate.
No, GG's going. Gigi's doing the Celine Dion residency.
You know how careful we are with our guys. We don't like to trade them. We don't want
to
play them.
He has
big
got
minutes.
To play. Like this is more like you know, Jalen Wells would be like the guy that gets to get out of it now. Because you know
that's true.
He you know I
could be a starter. Who knows?
He really could. So I mean, now he's not even going to be like respectfully, Jalen. You don't really need to build rapport with Gigi Jackson. You guys aren't going to play together. Like it's just not something that's that important.
That's
you
true.
Know? I mean, so like Cam Spencer and Gigi Jackson, y'all build something. But it does.
I don't know if Cam can work with him.
It makes the team less good. Like they're not going to win the summer league now. Probably like they would not be the favorites. I would guess because Zach was going to be like probably unstoppable.
Yeah, you have first two all rookie, first teamers.
Yeah,
on that thing.
I mean, they'll still be good because they have Jalen Wells and you know Gigi, like they'll still be pretty good, but I don't know. I don't think they'd be the favorite. It depends on who sends who, but you got to feel like the Jazz will have a good, like all these crappy teams will send good teams.
Who's running the show if no Pip and no, of course, we're not playing Pip. Who's running the show?
Yuki? I mean, Yuki's playing, right?
I forgot.
Why wouldn't he?
Great.
This is like his time to shine, bro. Because he's, I don't know if he's like back. I don't know what where it all stands.
Can't he do better financially overseas?
I don't know. Obviously not.
Back home?
Obviously not, because I think if he could, he would.
He's huge there.
I know, but I guess the Japanese basketball doesn't pay. Like
they don't have what we saw this weekend with our man Beasley, where they just go one-on-one
I guess
for the
not.
Dough.
I guess not.
We must talk about that.
That was disturbing.
Disturbing?
All of it.
Dude,
yeah,
Kyrie was there.
The buildup was what was disturbing, I guess. Like, you saw it. Of course you saw it, what Michael Beasley told Lance Stephenson. You sent it to me.
Forget what he told him. Did you see what he did to him?
Well,
after he told him that.
I saw that.
That's the story.
I saw a little bit of it. I wasn't going to pay whatever. Like, it was a pay-per-view. You paid for it, or you got it on Superbox?
Bro, I didn't pay for anything, first of all. That's the first part of that look at you. You know I'm not going to pay for that
mess.
I didn't
realize even that would be on Superbox, though. That's like a pay-per-view.
Everything is.
So it was on there?
I don't know.
But you did see it somehow.
I have seen the highlights and read all the write-ups. No, yeah. I didn't tune in for that mess Friday night down in Miami. But did you see what happened? Kyrie was down there, put his blessing on it.
Oh, that happened before the game?
Yes.
Wow.
Kyrie said he is the best one-on-one player in the world.
He's about himself?
No. Beasley.
Oh, okay.
He said he wouldn't play him.
Wow.
He put so much realness on this. Kyrie. Dude, Beasley is a problem.
Well,
I thought that man was looking like Delonte West. I said that there's no way. Well, Stevenson's going to eat him up. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Beasley, don't let the black nails fool you. He must be painting them like Caleb, man. I thought they had been run over by semi-trucks.
No.
Like he'd been in them streets.
I think he painted them,
He clearly does. This man's still in shape. He didn't just show Lance Stevenson something. He showed me something. I underestimate him. I thought that man, he looked like he'd been living in the streets the last year or two. They call him still, Kyrie and these guys look at him as the best one-on-one player in the world. Now, KD's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think KD could handle how physical these two were playing.
Oh, they were playing hard.
This game was more physical than game two of the finals.
Yeah, it was.
Let me tell you that. And that's the part KD can't do. So when Kyrie and those folks look at him and say he's the best, that's what they're saying. In any street, in anywhere in America or in the world, playing any kind of rules, this is who can go in there and win for you.
Yeah, no.
Michael Beasley.
That's a good
unbelievable.
Call. That's a good call.
Unbelievable stuff, man.
I mean, I thought Lance was actually going to end up being live in it because I.
Bro,
you know,
Lance started out, hit the first two shots, and started talking to him. That was the biggest mistake.
Mm.
That's what made this performance come out of Beasley.
Yep. Yep.
Lance got in his ear just like LeBron.
Yep.
Started talking that stuff. I think he got up 4-0 and maybe hit a couple threes, and threes count as two. Maybe that's how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, he lit the fire.
Well, you can't out crazy Michael Beasley. You can't psychology.
And you were concerned about how Beasley was talking to him. You were like,
yeah.
Well, this pre-fight stuff scared me away from it. I wasn't going to pay.
Well, it was disturbing. It was like he was talking about, I'm going to sex you up.
Did you see what he said afterwards?
Yeah.
He said, get you a towel and all that. He stayed with the theme.
He said,
he stayed with the sex theme.
He said, we made a sex tape that Kim K would be proud of, bro.
He said he sexed him up, Brad.
He said, I'm going to make sweet love. It was just very weird. He's like, I'm going to do it to you. I'm gonna make your ass. He's like, I'm gonna make your ass shake, Lance. Something like that. I'm gonna have you shaking ass. Like, Lance is like, no, you're not, bro. That's where Lance
said, I'm gonna smoke you. I'm gonna smoke that pack. That Lance. He was talking so crazy. Man went and backed it up.
I mean, like it was because like Lance
can't
was like
do anything but respect. Like it's an early respect burger.
Unfortunately, you can't use it because he does curse. Like
no, I have an edited version, but it's like a rundown. We have to give it to Brad because you all must feel what was happening in that room, just get a sense of it.
Yeah.
And how intense it was, and how basketball,
respected it. What was happening in that room? Did. Guys like Kyrie Irving, as this is as good as it gets.
Absolutely.
On this level.
Yeah. Because like
it's crazy, like serious.
This isn't the first time they've done this,
bucks.
Right?
They've
done this,
bucks.
This company, let whoever it is, has done this before. The next chapter, and they get these guys, you know, at a table before the game, and they face off, right? And like Lance was like not that interested in it, right? Like he was just kind of like,
oh man, that's what
he was just kind of sitting there like yeah whatever. And then Michael Beasley finally sits up and he says, "I'm gonna have you shaking ass, Lance." And that's when Lance was like, "Oh no, no,
you just
ain't
not
gonna
talk
that.
To me like
you ain't gonna do
like,
that,
right?
No,
like,
you ain't
like,
gonna
I'm
do
not
that.
A man."
He said, "I'm gonna do it to you nice and slow." That's where Lance was like, "Oh no, nah, bro, you ain't finna do that to me." Lance looked pretty good, I would say. Lance was in shape. I didn't know what to expect. You know, he's been out of the league for a while. You
did
never
you
know.
See the end though? He clearly wasn't in the shape that Beasley was in because he's huffing and puffing at the end.
I think
man.
Beasley's on that like
Lance trying to foul him. He can't even do it.
Shape like he just never gets tired. Respectfully,
a crackhead gonna get tired. This guy was on something else.
All right, well, does a crackhead get tired?
Maybe not right in the immediate if he just shot up, just hit the crack.
Okay.
But there's no way he could hit those shots having
hit
the crack.
I agree.
And there's no way he could be that strong. You know, hit it an hour earlier.
Right. It was quite the scene and build up between those two guys. Like
that
you said.
Might have been better than game two.
I think it probably was. It was more drama. There's no question about that. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come in the rundown. What a weekend of tennis. What a weekend. And I'll tell you about my biggest and worst bad beat ever in my betting career. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.